Okay, well, as you can see, today's message is entitled God's Timing. God's Timing. And I'm giving this message today because of timing. Actually, we are just a short time away from the fall holy days. And years ago, many years ago, when we first started celebrating the holy days, I was asked the question that many have asked, that I ask of myself and you ask of me, and that is, how do we know for sure when the holy days are? How do the days that are lined up in the Bible line up with the calendar that we keep today, the Gregorian calendar? How do those line up? How do we know when the holy days are for sure? Because it's a huge question. It's a huge question, and we're certainly not the first ones to answer it or ask it. There's a myriad of opinions on how to answer that question that differ from how I answered that question back in the day. That was then, and this is now. Many talk in the church today about growing in the grace and knowledge of God, right? But what is a huge part of growing? It's learning. And in order to learn something, you have to be willing to be taught. And part of that is a willingness to be wrong and then absorb the right. And that is growth. That's moving forward. It's leaving what is behind and pressing ahead. Do you think that Paul grew? You think he changed a little bit? I mean, he was out there, you know, murdering the saints until he learned. Sure, he kind of learned the hard way, but he learned, right, that those were the saints of Yeshua. He learned who Yeshua was, and he changed from killing them to serving them. It is by God's grace and His alone that we learn and grow. And as He grants us the opportunity to learn, He also gives us the grace of forgiveness, right? Because we operated in ignorance. And this is why there are so many churches out there that are stagnant. They're stagnant. They've grown to a certain point and they've said, well, this is it. We got it all put in this box and we're good to go. See, if you believe that you know everything and you are not willing to admit being wrong in the past, then you will never learn another thing. You've just closed yourself off. And I think of the verse that says, let he who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Right? Today, I'm embracing the fact that what I taught years ago concerning God's sacred calendar was indeed wrong. It was wrong. I don't mind saying that. I'm kind of happy to say it because I'm not looking at what was behind. I'm looking and pressing forward. Having kept these holy days for years, well, decades, I see this as a gift from God as a way of encouraging us, giving us growth and deeper understanding. God is good. And I believe He is blessing us for our faithfulness. Because He honors obedience to what you do know. And that opens up the pathway for Him to give gifts of additional depth to respond to. That's the process of growing. So today, in addressing this subject, I'm going to briefly go over why we followed the calendar in the past the way we have. I want to review that position and thinking, and I want to show you why I now know that is an error. It's actually blatant error, in fact, due to some of the things that I just didn't know. But now I do, so I'm bringing it to you, and I want to share those things with you today. So then I want to go over, after that, I want to look biblically at the way God counts time. And in that, He counts days, the calendar. I think you'll see that like many things that we've looked at over the years, the answer is really simple. What has made it complicated is man. Man responding to Satan's efforts to cloud God's timing so that we don't know when to keep the holy days, when to be on His schedule. But the good news is we can know for certain the exact month of God's calendar and the exact day that we are on today. We can know that for sure. God made certain of it because it is a definite, precise, and accurate point in time. Okay? All we have to do is just believe what God said. That's all we have to do. And stick to it and not allow man to change it, modify it, postpone it, whatever. All right? You ready to get started? All right, here we go. I'm going to start with the things that haven't changed. Guys, a day begins at sundown and ends at sundown. We read this in Genesis over and over, okay? Each day of creation, he ended and said, an evening and morning was the first day. Evening and morning was the second day. Evening and morning. Okay, therefore, the night portion of the day is at the beginning of the day. Now, I'm reiterating this because it remains important to remember when we talk about the days in God's calendar. When the sun goes down on, say, the 10th on our calendar, it's already the 11th on God's, okay? So we just need to keep that in mind. I know you already know that. All right. Also, there's 7 days in a week. That hasn't changed. God worked 6 and he rested on the 7th, and he told us to do the same. A 7-day week is kept around the world, and you know there is nothing in the celestial bodies to tell us that. It's done because God ordained it, and he has not allowed Satan to change it. And we have a 7-day week because God says you have a 7-day week, and that's the reason we have it, and it's been that way since the beginning. So the 7-day week, we also know, is uninterrupted and completely accurate. We can have absolute confidence in that. Astronomers that track time to the millisecond via the celestial bodies have confirmed the uninterrupted accuracy of the 7-day cycle, and it matches our current calendar. So Saturday is definitely the 7th day Sabbath, unequivocally. And if you want to review on all of that data, there's, I think, the second part of the message, Sabbath Rest, years ago, covered all of that data. So let's talk about calendar dates a minute, because this is vital, because we are commanded to keep God's appointed times. He made certain times holy. And I've said how many times, you can't make something holy. You can keep something that God made holy. You can keep it holy, but you can't make it holy. So we need to know what that holy time is. And just as an aside, do a little study sometime on the molad in Genesis. You'll find that in when you look at that word is referred to as an appointed time. It's referred to as being holy. Okay, and a number of other things. So we have the weekly Sabbath. We know it's set apart. It's holy time. But you know we have the other Sabbaths too. Sabbaths that are not marked by a weekly cycle, but a monthly cycle. So how have we determined when the holy days are in the past? Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. So for the sake of time, I'm just going to say that we relied upon the calendar provided by the Jews. I want you to notice Romans chapter 3. It says, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? In other words, their religion, if you want to put it that way. And Paul says, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. And so based on this and some other scriptures that indicate the lineage of the priesthood and what their responsibilities are, we relied on their calendar and God's ability, certainly, but hopefully the Jews' intention of maintaining that. And so then we would look at that calendar and we would track the differences between our calendar and their calendar and transpose those dates over, and that's how we got them. We relied on basically the Jews to do this. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, to answer that, you need some more information. You need a little bit of perspective. The Jewish calendar, as it should be, is based on lunar months. And this is biblical. It's the biblical way to mark months. And the month begins with a new moon. Time doesn't permit me to go through the tons of scriptures that show that it's the new moon. There's just a lot of them. Okay? If you know the date, guys, of the new moon, the date of the new moon on the calendar is the first day of the month. So that's number one. And so the next day is 2, 3, 4 until you get to the next new moon. And you're going to count each time. You're going to go 29 or 30 days. There's always 29 or 30 days between the new moons. Okay. So you do this for 12 months. And that's a year, right? Wrong. A year is one trip around the sun. Okay. It's one orbit, if you will, of the Earth around the sun. It's not 12 lunar months. In 12 lunar months, you're going to be around 11 days short of completing that trip. Okay? About 11 days off. So because it's the solar year, the effect of the sun on our planet's environment, okay, if you continue marking the calendar with just those 12 lunar months that are each 11 days short, okay, what's going to happen? Your calendar lined up with the sun is going to slip backwards, okay? And so instead of the first month being, say, in the spring where God wants it, it's going to slip into the winter time. So what does God say to do to fix that? He says, well, every few years you need to add an extra month. So in the God's calendar, there are 12 lunar months in some years and 13 in others. The Gregorian calendar has the same issue. This isn't limited to lunar and solar marking of time, okay? It's just the way the Gregorian calendar does it is they add an extra day every 4 years. We call it leap year. So it accomplishes the same thing, it just does it in a different way. So in order to know what the date is on God's calendar, so then we can know when the feast days are, right? It requires knowing really two things. I'm trying to make this, pare this down just kind of as simple as possible, all right? There's a lot more to this, but this gives you the basis. First, we need to know when the new moon is, because God says that's when the first day of the month is. That gives us the first of the month. We can count from there. That date is not a mystery. It's set in the sky every single month. It's right there. Okay? It's observable. And as you'll see in a little bit, it's actually measurable down to literally the minute. Okay? And so by that, you know what the first day of the month is, and you can count until the next new moon. The second thing we need to know is, what month is it? Is it the first month? Because if there's leap years, if there's leap months every so often, every time there's a 13th month, then you got to know if it's the 13th month or the first month. And once you know that, then you can count the rest of the months the rest of the year, right? Okay, so we need two things. We only need two things. We need to know what month it is, And we can always tell when it starts. It's that simple. Okay? So what determines then the first month? How do you determine when to add a month and when not to add a month? Well, God's a God of cycles, isn't he? He's very reliable. Okay? And that is on a 19-year cycle. And inside those 19 years, every 19-year cycle, you will have 7 of those years to get an additional month. So you start with month 1, year 1, and by the time you go 19 years, adding an extra month every, 7 times during that time, you end up right back where you started. It's a complete cycle, okay? It takes 19 years, and it takes 7 of those years having an extra month. Okay. All right. Now, that 19-year cycle, the Jews knew. They knew it. It was available to them. They could tell when the moon, that's observable. They knew what the cycle was. So what's the problem? If they knew both of these things, why can't we trust their calendar? Unfortunately, they ignored it for their own rules. Does that sound familiar? Mark 7. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This is God speaking. This is Yeshua. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. We've talked about this a lot. Within the Mishnah, the Talmud, there's a lot of things that were added, right? Well, some of these things were rules that they had from the ancient Jewish sages, things that affected the calendar, rules that changed when they would say the first of the month was. They could see when the first of the month was, it's plain in the sky, right? But they had these rules that would cause what's called postponements to the start of the count of the month. What's interesting is, when you do some research, the calendar that they're using today, the one we were mimicking, did not even be in existence until 358 AD, the 3rd century. And so by this time, when this was created, there was all of these rules that they had to accommodate in order to take what God had put in the sky and given them. They had to adjust it so that they didn't break any of their own rules. And it's pretty sad. This was done by the chief rabbi Hillel II in the 3rd century. And even he said, well, it isn't right, but it'll have to do till the Messiah comes to fix it. And they played around with that calendar clear until the 11th century. And adjusting it, making what is called these postponements. So they actually postpone, in some cases, the start of the count of the month in order to make sure that none of those rules were broken. And these rules are not God's rules. Some months even have a set number of days. And that's not the way the lunar cycle works. So rather than spend a lot of time on this, I'm going to just cut to the chase. I want to just quote something directly from the Encyclopedia Judaica. It was entitled, Fixing Rosh Hashanah. That's a whole nother issue right there. They start their year in the 7th month. That's what Rosh Hashanah means. Okay? And God said, no, you're to start it in the spring. You're supposed to start it in Nisan, in the 1st month of the year. But anyway, this reads, the year begins on Tishri 1. No, it doesn't. Which is rarely the day of the Molad. Now, the Molad is the new moon. And they're saying right here that the Tishri 1 on their calendar rarely even comes on the first day, which it's supposed to. Why? Because there are 4 obstacles or considerations we need to make in fixing the first day of the month. And they cause postponements sometimes as much as 2 days. Mainly, In order to prevent the Day of Atonement, Tishri 10, from falling on a Friday or a Sunday, that's a rule. Or Hasharabah, the seventh day of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, from falling on Tishri 21, or from Tishri 21, from falling on a Saturday. So they have all of these rules. A lot of them revolve around this rabbi proclaiming at one point in time that you really shouldn't have two Sabbaths in a row because it's too much of a burden. Okay, so if there's a weekly Sabbath and then you've got a holy day, which is also a Sabbath, on a Friday or a Sunday, then you have two Sabbaths in a row, and that's just too much. We can't have that. So they put it in the rules, and now when they do the calendar, they have to abide by these rules. How's that smell to you? I don't know about you, but to be as polite as possible, it ticked me off. I mean, I felt betrayed. First off, there's several instances in the Bible, again, we don't have time to go there, that where there were two Sabbaths in a row. God didn't do anything about it. So where do they get off trying to say that well, they need to fix it? It just doesn't make sense. The arrogance in saying, you know, well, we're going to just postpone it. We're just going to oh, you know what, God? Hey, old big guy, you know, I'm sorry. We just had a Sabbath, and sorry, dude, but I've had enough for this week. You know, I just need to reschedule that, dude. You don't do that with God. It's ridiculous. I make fun, but it isn't fun. God made that time holy, and there ain't a man on this earth that can postpone it. He can either observe it, keep it, and honor it, or not, right? But now they think they can. And I was like, why? What possible justification could you give for thinking you can do that? Because, listen, God doesn't follow man. We're to follow him, right? But they read this in Exodus, and they cite this, and there's several verses that say this same thing, but I just picked one of them. Leviticus 23, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim." Okay? So he's saying that Moses and the priesthood can proclaim these holy convocations. All right, but they ignore the last part of that. That says these are my feasts. They're his feasts. They're not Moses' feasts. They're not the priesthood's feasts. They're his feasts. And they say, well, because they proclaim them, then they're proclaiming when they are. Is that what that word means? Is that no? Here it is from the Hebrew. It's Strong's H7121, and it's kara. And it means to call or call out, to recite. To proclaim, to utter a loud sound, to cry for help, to call with name of God, to proclaim, to read aloud, to summon, invite, and call for. Yes, that's what they were supposed to do. Here's my feast. Now you are to go and you are to call out and you are to assemble. You are to read aloud. You are to cry unto the people and bring them to me on my holy time. Anything to do with them being able to set the time. It's arrogance. So to move on, the bottom line, guys, is the Hillel calendar is not to be followed. In terms of its rules, it contains adjustments that are not biblical and cause the holy days to be off from the count of the beginning of the months the way that God instructed us to do it. Plain and simple. And it's really too bad because they were given the oracles of God. They were given them. They did and do still have the cycle right. That cycle, we're going to get into that. But these stupid man-made rules just jack it all up. So now that you know what we used to do, we're setting that aside. So we can't do that anymore. So we need to explore how we can know for sure, for certain, when his holy days are, and be able to live by his clock, his calendar, and not man. What I'm about to show you really, it doesn't have any influence with any man-made rules at all. It's from two sources: your Bible and the celestial bodies that were put in the sky by God himself. That's it. Nothing else. And it's not really that hard to grasp, but you do need to pay close attention. Track each point, because they all kind of build on each other. After the message, we're going to do a little bit of practice in our discussion time today. And my goal is, by the time you leave here today, I want you to be able to know what day it is, where you're at on the calendar, and you're going to be able to calculate it and figure it for next year and then year after that. You don't need somebody to tell you. You can figure it out all by yourself. Okay? You ready? Here we go. Here's what you need to figure out the date. You need to know when the new moon is, and you need to know when to add the 13th month. That's the only two things you need. Once you have those two things, then you will know what month you're in, and by counting from the new moon, you'll know what date it is. That's it. Isn't it? It's God's calendar right there. So we're going to start with the new moon. What is a new moon? Okay? It's funny that all around the world, everybody knows what a new moon is, except for the Jews. And they want to argue about it. But anyway, a new moon, by definition, is the phase of the moon when it is in conjunction, lined up with the sun, and it is then invisible from Earth. That's a new moon. Some call it a dark moon. It's not the young moon, or what some people call the sliver. Because then, how big does that sliver need to be if it's a new moon? Does it need to be this big, or is it a little bit bigger? Or is it halfway between the new and what's called the young moon? How big does the sliver have to be? It's subjective, and God is not subjective. He is not leaving his calendar open to what man, you know, is going to decide the sliver's big enough, okay? God specifies the new moon over and over in Scripture. I put one example on the screen. So why is it a new moon? Because there is a precise instant where it is new. Doesn't everything have a precise time when it is new? When you were born, you were new. And then you started being older. Right away, right? Okay. So, right after it's a new moon, it begins to show a sliver. You know, it starts that process, right? Now, once you see the sliver, then guess what? You know the new moon happened. You wouldn't see the sliver if the new moon hadn't happened. What that is evidence that the new moon happened. But it's not the new moon. It's a sliver. It's a young moon, not a new one. This was played out for us as I thought about this. This was played out for us by Yeshua. Let me ask you a question. When the whole sacrifice of Yeshua paid the penalty for our sin, was your sin paid for when Yeshua died or when he was resurrected? No. When he died. When he died for your sin was paid. He stood in your place. He was a propitiation for your sin. He stood in your place and took your penalty, right? So he died. When he died, that is when your sin was paid for. Now, did those people know that? See, that's the thing. See, they didn't really know that because they didn't know who he was. Well, 3 days later, when he rose, then they realized, wow, that was God. And it's the same with the moon and the sliver. You have the moon, it goes dark, right? And then, a few days later, maybe the next day, day after, whatever, you see the sliver. That's the evidence of what happened. Christ died for your sins, and you got the evidence of it 3 days later. And let me ask you this. What happened at the moment that Christ died? Sky went dark. We went dark. So there's no coincidences with God. So we know, guys, that the month begins at the time of the new moon. Just like there was an instant when Yeshua died, there's an instant where the old moon dies and the new cycle begins. Okay? And thanks to modern astronomy, we know precisely when that is. This took me about 30 seconds to find on the U.S. Naval Observatory website. I want you to look at that column, that first column over there, titled New Moon. In January of this year, on the 6th of our Gregorian calendar, can you see that? What's it say? The new moon occurred at 1:28. Can you be any more precise than that? Next line down, we see on February the 4th, new moon occurred at 21:04. That's military time. That's 9:04 in the afternoon, in the evening. Now, when the sliver gets big enough later to see, then you'll know that it happened. Let's go back to our phase chart real quick. So if you're on an island and you want to know when the next month is, all you have to do is watch the sky. You'll see all of these phases of the moon. You'll see the moon go old. Okay, look at that bottom right picture right here. Notice the sliver is on the left. Okay, and it'll get smaller and smaller. Then you look at the top, and now it's dark. Now it's gone dark. And then the next thing you're going to see is a young moon. You're going to see that sliver, and now it's on the right side. Okay? In between those two things that you can stand on an island and observe is the new moon. So even though you can't see the new moon because it's dark, you know when it happened because it happened in between those two points. So with nightly observance, you could pinpoint when the new moon happened. Today, we don't even have to rely on that because the U.S. Naval Observatory does it for us. They observe it. They also track it. And interestingly, by tracking it, they figure out the pattern. So it happens, I hate to say it, but like clockwork, right? Okay? So they can even tell you with this nightly observance and tracking it, there's a calculations that they can make to know exactly when the new moon is going to happen. Okay? And they do it with incredible accuracy. Notice in this chart, again, that they know the exact time of the new moon for the rest of the year, and it hadn't even happened yet. In fact, you can go on this website and you can get the times of the new moon clear up to the year 2100. We can calculate it to the minute. So back in the day, the Jews, they could calculate, we can calculate to the minute, they could calculate to the day pretty easily, and they did. They just appointed and put their religious rules of postponements on top of it. Very sad and very aggravating that it spilled over to us. So now we know the exact time that the new moon occurs. So what about the date? What do we do about the date? Well, remember, God doesn't go by the U.S. Naval Observation Gregorian calendar. Okay? They don't go by our current definitions of a day, and that's why it's important that we remember that a day is from sunset to sunset. Because, see, they say that it happened on February 4th at 2104, well, I guarantee you the sun was down by then. So it would have been, what, the next day, right? On God's calendar, right? So we need to remember that it was evening and morning is a day. Now, there's one other thing that you need to know, okay? And that is this, what God showed us, what God gave us here. Genesis 1. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." We've talked about that verse many times. We know what seasons is and what all of that is. But he says, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. And he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. It's important. What are those two lights? Of course, it's the sun and the moon. The sun to rule the day, the lesser light, the moon to rule the night. So we know when the sun goes down that a new day begins, right? The sun is down. The lesser light is down, so the moon is out. What is ruling? The moon is ruling. The sun is no longer in charge, the moon's in charge. So if the new moon begins, listen, if the new moon begins when the sun is out, it's the sun that's ruling. So we have to wait for the moon to rule, okay? Because that's what God said. So, we need to make sure that we count it after the sun goes down if the new moon occurs during the daytime. And I want you to see that this information is available too from the USNO. This is all of the sunrise and sunset times, okay? Now I know this is kind of hard to read, but don't worry. I've got handouts, and we're gonna go over this during discussion time. But this chart shows it. Now I want to blow this up real quick, and look at February here. On the left, you see the new moon occurred at 2104 on the 4th of February. On the right, it shows us what time the sun set. So the sun set, right, before the new moon. So if the sun set, then it's not the 4th anymore on God's calendar, is it? It's the 5th. So what date is the day for the new moon? The 5th. The sun had set, the moon was ruling, and there you got it. See, it's not that hard. So even though the naval place say it's the 4th, it's really the 5th. Okay, I want to do this. I really think it's pretty easy to determine the start of the month these days with all of this data. But before I move on, did I make another slide? Yeah, here's my other slide. I want you to look at the next month, because this helps you understand how these rules work. I shouldn't say rules, but cycles. God's rules. On the 6th, it says that we had a new moon at 1604. Okay? Now, look over here at the sunrise and sunset. So the sun rose at 608, and it set at 1815. 1604 is right in the middle of that, isn't it? So what was ruling? Sun was still out. Sun was ruling. So when the moon comes out, that's the first instance where the moon is ruling and we're in a new moon cycle, right? And so when is the new moon? The new moon occurs at sundown on the 6th, which is what? The 7th, right, of March. It's pretty easy. So, all you have to keep in mind with this data is the sunset to sunset rule. That defines a day, And then keep in mind what light that God put in there is ruling at the time of the new moon. So what you're going to see as you go through this, it's really very easy. If the new moon occurs from sundown to midnight, okay, then it's going to, the new moon date is going to be the same date that they're talking about, right? Okay? But if it's not, no, it's going to be the next one. But if it's during the day, that's all you really have to remember, is if it's during the daytime, then it goes to the next time that the moon is ruling. All right. Don't worry about this. We're going to get some practice during discussion time. All right. So we have one of the two things that we need. We need to know when the new moon is and when to add the 13 month in. So we know when the new moon is. In the Bible, God gives us the names of the months, some of them, not all of them. We know the first month is Abib or Nisan, Tishri. We have a few of them that the Bible references. But for the most part, what the Bible does is it says month 1, month 2, month 3, month 4, and on like that. It doesn't really use names. But here are the names. Now remember, all of the slides are posted on the website. So don't get too distracted writing these down. You need to stay with me. Notice that there are 13 months. That's because, like I already said, if you only have 12 lunar months, you're going to be 11 days short every year. So we need to add that extra month every now and then. How do we know when to do that? Again, it's on a 19-year cycle. It takes 19 years for the moon to complete that cycle, to come back around to the same spot that it started in. Now, during that time, we need to add 7 leap years. 7 leap years that have an extra month. And so we have a variance in the months of 29 or 30 days. On the screen, you're going to see the months that you would add the leap years. Those are called leap years. The other years are called the common years. Unlike the Gregorian calendar, which has the same number of days each of the common years, okay, and then the same number of days for every leap year, the lunar calendar is not like that. And you kind of got to let this process a little bit. We'll go over this more and more. Lunar common years have 354 or 355 days. Leap years have 383. Now remember, we're used to 365, right? So the common has 353, 354, 355. You can see it's short, okay? The leap years, 383 years, 84 or 85. Longer, okay? So because we have this various mix of 29 and 30 days, each one of those years isn't even the same number of days long. So without a long drawn out thing, in order to make all of that work, those are the years that you have to add the leap year. They have the right number of days in them and everything lines up, okay? If you go on the internet and start looking into this, you're going to find that there's another group that uses a different list of years for the leap years. And one of the reasons that they do that, I've read in their literature, one of the reasons they do this is because that they also recognize the errors in the Hillel calendar. And so they want to distance themselves from that. And so the Jewish calendar, the Hillel calendar, uses that cycle. And so they know, well, that must be wrong. So they get rid of it, and we got to come up with something different. But you can't do that. You can't change the movement of the celestial bodies to fit, you know, what you want to do, because they're pretty much set. And what they don't realize is that the Jews did know the cycle. I mean, they were given the oracles of God. They just decided to ignore them in certain places. And they never changed their rules, their things that they use to manipulate the calendar were only about the start of the month, not when the month was. Okay? They used that same cycle. They did have that right. And we know that because there are lots of confirmations in the Word of God, a lot of confirmations in the celestial bodies. Again, we don't have time to go into all that. I'm still learning a bunch of them. And quite frankly, it's a lot of fun because it's really cool. But anyway, I'm going to give you two for today. One is astrological and the other is biblical. Two confirmations that we know that that is the right cycle. To explain the astrological reason, you need one more piece of information. And just bear with me because we're getting there. And that is that a year, one trip around the sun, is not divisible exactly by 365 days. I don't know if you know that or not. It's 365.2255 or 4 or something like that. It's pretty close. Okay, so just like the moon takes 19 years to come back around to the same spot it started in, the sun takes 28 years to come around at 28 cycles, 28 years to come around and be right back where it started. Okay, next thing. Now what happens if both the sun and the moon cycles line up? Okay, so the moon's doing its thing, sun's doing its thing on its cycle. One's 19 years, one's 28. How long does it take for that whole cycle of both of them to come around? Yeah, gave you the answer for the question, didn't I? 532 years. So there's this large cycle, okay? Now, when you get to the start of that long cycle, now you just have to use a little bit of logic. Go with me, because remember, we're still talking about why the cycle is right. When you are on the very first year of 532, what do you have? You have everything lining up. So that's year one, right? I mean, it's year one of all of it. Now you go, now would there be a leap year that year? Heavens no. Why? Because everything's lined up. You don't need a leap year. Everything's perfect. Okay? So then when you go to the next year and you're at year two, you're 11 days behind. That's it. Just 11. That's the smallest amount that you can be behind by 1 year. So you're going to do a leap year then? No. So you go another year and now you're 22 days behind. So, okay, well, is that enough for a leap year? Well, it kind of has to be. Why? Because if you go another one, you're 33 days behind. These are rough numbers. You're roughly 33 days behind. That's over a month. That's really too late. You kind of got behind the eight ball there, right? So logically, God's pretty logical. Logically, the place to have the first leap year after everything's lined up perfect is the third year, okay? Year two's too early, year three's too late, there's only one in the, two's too early, four's too late, there's only one in the middle. All right. So now remember that we're going to go the whole 532 years. Now at the end of the 532 years, what must there be? A leap year. There has to be a leap year. Why? Because the very next year has to be the start where everything's lined up perfect again. And no need for a leap year. Because if it was the year after the leap year, you'd already be 11 days behind again, and it wouldn't be lined up. And besides, guys, simple math. If you take 19 times 28, what do you get? 532. If you take 19 times 18, if 18 was the last number or one of these, you wouldn't get 532. It doesn't work, okay? The leap year cycle on the screen is the only one that works. It's the only one that fits all of the criteria. And the Jews knew it. And that's a gift to you, because now you know it too. It's a key. I love the little graphic that I found with the, you can't see it very well right now, but with the clock and the calendar, and it had that little key on there. Well, there's your key. There's one of the keys. That's the cycle that the Jews used, and more importantly, the cycle that was being used by the calendar when Yeshua walked this earth and in your early church. Okay? Now, before I move on from this slide with all these cycles on here, I want to share this point too. I said there's tons of numerical confirmations in the Bible about these cycles, also about the leap year accuracy. But we'd be here all day. But there's one embedded in these numbers that I think is pretty cool. How many know that the number 10 is a holy number? It's one of the numbers of God. It's a number that reflects divine perfection. Okay? It's a number of holiness and perfection. For example, think about we have 10 commandments. We're supposed to follow those commandments, aren't we? We have 10 toes to do that. And 10 fingers to work our hands. We have a tenth of everything that comes our way is set apart as holy, and it's to flow back to God. Right? The holiest day of the year is the Day of Atonement. It's on the 10th of the month. The Passover lamb was chosen on the 10th of the month. 10 is one of God's number that illuminates holiness and perfection. And I want you to look again now with that in mind at these cycles. We have a 19-year lunar cycle. What's 1 plus 9? We have a 28-year solar cycle. What's 2 plus 8? We have a huge cycle that shows all of this in perfect alignment of 532 years. What's 5 plus 3 plus 2? There's no surprise that he uses the number of holiness and order to direct us to his holy time. All right, lastly, I'm going to give you the biblical anchor point of this cycle. And to me, it's really very cool. It's in Exodus chapter 12. And in there, we see that Egypt is still in, or Israel is still in Egypt. God is about to take and impose upon Egypt the last and final plague. And he's giving Moses and Aaron instructions on how to advise the nation of Israel to avoid that plague. It's the first Passover, okay? And later we know that this month is the month of Abib, or Nisan. Notice what he says. He says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the children of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" There's the 10th of the month with the lamb, who was perfect anyway. So we see here that the month of the Passover is the first month of the year, right? It's the new year, it says, according to God. The last part of verse 2 clearly says it's to be the first month of the year to you. That's pretty clear. Okay, we get that. When we read the rest of the Bible, we know that when he refers to the second month or the fourth month or the fifth month, that it's counted from this month of Abib. Or it's also called Nisan. It's very clear. But how many know that God doesn't say things just to be saying them? You know, I hear a lot of people say something and then they say, "Well, I'm just saying." Yeah, you hear that all the time. "Oh, I'm just saying." God doesn't do that. He doesn't just say. He doesn't do it. He has a reason why he says something. And I want you to notice what he started with first. He said, "This month, your beginning of months." I didn't read "shall be" because it's inserted. "This month, beginning of months." In the Hebrew, that's literally month beginning month. It's Kodesh Molad, or and then Kodesh. It's literally month begin. It's not, yeah. Month beginning month. I can't think of the Hebrew words, but that's what they mean. It's just month beginning month. Then it says month, first month. There's only six words in that verse, okay? Month beginning month, month first month. And that's how it's translated. Guys, this month, the month that they were in at the time of the Passover in Egypt, at the time of the Exodus, God said, month beginning month. He said it's the beginning of months. Well, why state it two ways? What's he saying here? He just duplicating himself? Well, guess what? If you take what you've learned today, this method of reckoning the months with the lunar cycle that we've discussed here and preserved by the Jews, that cycle, and you start calculating with the data that we have and go all the way back to that month. Do you know what it was? It was the plagues in Egypt happened in the 532nd year of the 532-year cycle. It was a leap year, ending the cycle. When God said that that next month was the beginning of months, He meant it. It literally was the first month of the entire new 532-year cycle. It was not only the beginning of the months for them, which He stated next, but first He said it was month beginning months. It was the first month of the year for them. It was the first month of the lunar cycle. And it was the first month of the solar cycle. And everything was all tied in. And guess what? Not only that, it was the first day of the week. God lined everything up to the beginning of His kingdom of Israel. Everything for a perfect start. The months, the years, and even the week. Guys, we have a calendar reckoning now that maintains its accuracy all the way back to the Exodus. Way back to the very first Passover. And the Jews had it, still have it actually, they just ignore it. So what do you need to figure out the date? These two things. Now you have them both. According to the Bible, the first day of every month starts on the new or dark moon. All we have to do is look and see when that is. It's not a mystery. All we have to do is just believe what the Bible says. That's it. And then take into account, and what does the Bible tell us? Sunset to sunset. New moon. And who's ruling? The lesser light or the greater light. That's it. And then once you do that, you know when the current month stops, when the new one starts, and then when we apply the 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19 cycle, then we know when to add the extra month, and we're good. God's perfect, divine, sacred calendar. And it's just hidden right there in plain sight. All you got to do is just believe the Bible. That's it. I'm convinced God wants us to have His calendar for sure, but He wants people to want it. He wants them to look for it. And I see this information as a wonderful gift. A gift from God to His people that believe that God does have appointed times, that He does create time that is holy, and He wants to demonstrate that give that to people that want it, that they've demonstrated their desire for it. So as we circle up today for discussion, I have handouts from the U.S. Naval Data website. And we're going to exercise our ability a little bit to figure out, how to do this. This was done for me, and so I'm passing the gift on. Before we do that, though, I want to give just a few guidelines as we work our way through it. A new moon can occur on any day of the week. Unlike what the Jews will tell you, it can occur any time. We can't postpone a new moon. Seriously? Can't postpone a new moon. I can't, God can stop the sun in the sky for a day, but we certainly can't, and neither can the Jews. We can use the data and the observation wherever we're at to know when the new moon occurs and keep track of it each month. But then we need to apply that rule that I showed you in Genesis. Who's ruling, the lesser light or the greater light? You're going to see that there's only 29 or 30 days in a month. Okay? So if you say the new moon's here, and then the next month you say the new moon's here, and there's 31 days in between, you screwed up somewhere, and you can go back and figure it out, because that's not going to happen. Or if later on in the year you have a 28, you messed up somewhere, right? So only 29 or 30 days in a month. Sometimes they can be consecutive. You can read these. There's 12 months in a common year, 13 in a leap year. Here's the pattern. There's the number of days in each of the common and leap years, and of course the 19 and 28 year cycles repeat every 532 years. That's really it. And again, everything that you're seeing there is either given to us in the celestial bodies, right? That's the promise I made to you at the very beginning of this, right? That everything we were going to go over was going to come from the Bible or the sky. And there's nothing on there that's not from one or the other. So I know that this is a lot to take in. There's actually a lot more. But I hope that this is a foundational thing. You can see what we're dealing with. I wanted you to see the simplicity and the beauty and the organization that God put into this. He's a God of order, right? He's not the author of confusion. Satan is. And it's Satan that has confused this calendar, not God. Now, granted, my wife and I, we've talked a little bit. Why did God do this? Why did he make the sun do one thing and the moon do something? Why is it like this? Well, I'm convinced it's because God wants us to just believe him and just follow him. And he wants us to look for it. So again, I see it as a wonderful gift that the Father has given us through inspiring some very, very diligent people that we are indebted to for digging through mountains of data and history to bring this to us and work this all out. So now we can, all by ourselves, we can figure out when the holy days are and know for sure that that's when they are, because that's when God said they are, and that's going by his clock and nobody else's. So at this point, let's circle up and let's give this a go, shall we? Woo-hoo. All right. Okay.